Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I bring greetings from the pastor to the children of God. The pastor said to let you guys know that it is well with you.
Amen.
Everything is good in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I even want to thank the pastor in absentia. And like I said, who am I? Just an ordinary person, not even a minister, not even anything, that I'm standing here with the opportunity to encourage the children of God. I just want to thank our Father and the Lord for that. This morning, when I was thinking about what to talk about, then I remember there was a man of God that I listened to some time ago. And the man of God said, at that time, he said he listens to the Lord in his own dialect. And he said, the Lord always speaks to him in his own personal dialect. And he said, according to him, I think he's an Ijeshaman. He said, Aletile, something like that. So I'm here this morning to encourage children of God with a message of hope. Last week, we had a very powerful message from one of our brothers, you know, on the need for me and you to search ourselves regarding our relationship with God. Our brother pointed out explicitly the need for revival for us and the church as a whole. You know, he admonished us to check ourselves on the things that we can feel or see as indication for the need for revival. And having said that, I want to believe very strongly that each and every one of us have searched our mind and made amends where there is the search is needed. So having done that, and this morning, we even talked about, you know, in the Bible study, we talked about the faith that works. That is the faith that works. So now, with that, I want you to put that faith to work this morning. And the Lord will help you as you do that in Jesus' name. Like I said, the message that I have for you this morning is a message of hope. And I want to believe very strongly that the Lord is speaking to someone here this morning. So I want to title the message, "With God, it is never too late. It shall not be late in your situation in Jesus' name." So my Bible test is going to be taken from John chapter 11, verse 20 to 23. John 11, verse 20 to 23. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. 22. Then said Martha unto Jesus, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." 23, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it today. That's the test of faith right there. That whatever you ask of God, you know, God will do it for you. Now, maybe your prayers are taking too long, you know, time to be answered, despite doing your best, despite changing your ways. Your condition is the same. On one side, you are God's child, doing everything the best you can. But on the other side, you don't have an answer to the pain that you are going through. You are asking, "Where is God when it's really, really hurting me?" Do we believe and trust God even in the midst of pain and suffering? Do we believe in the promises of God even when everything looks impossible? Do we trust in God even when we do not understand his ways in our lives? Our trials can sometimes be a test of our faith. Now, if you look at Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, it says, "For I know the thoughts I think of you, saith the Lord, The thought of peace and not of evil to give you what? An expected end. Now, I would like to tell you a personal story. And this is a story that actually concerns me. I want to remember that sometime in year 2002 or 2003, that was when the thought of coming to America, you know, came to my mind. And I actually wanted to come to America. So I went to the U.S. consulate in Lagos to apply for a non-immigrant visa. I prayed, not very strongly anyway, but I still prayed. And I went for the interview. And guess what? It was denied. And at that point, I was like, okay, God has not answered my prayers. You see what I'm saying? The Lord has not answered my prayer, not knowing that the Lord has something else in store for me. Okay? Now, that prayer that was not answered at that time, it took about almost 20 years again before the prayer was answered. Now, guess what? At that time that I was talking about, I wasn't married. I was still very single. And if the Lord had answered my prayer at that time, I probably would have come up here to the United States and would have missed the purpose of God in my life. The beautiful children that the Lord has given me, I would have missed it. So now, at that point, I was thinking that the Lord is not answering my prayers, not knowing that the Lord had more and significant things to give me in the future. And here am I today with all the beautiful things that the Lord has done for me. I want someone to say hallelujah to that.
Hallelujah.
Now, sometimes God uses failures, like I said, and problems to protect us. Joseph was obviously his father's favorite, like we know, favorite son. And as a result of this favoritism, his brothers were filled with envy and bitterness towards him. Then one day in their hatred, they sent him out, they sold him out as a slave, you know, to the caravan traveling to Egypt. It all happened so quickly. One moment, he was the favorite son, getting everything he wanted, and the next, he was in chains and being sold into slavery. See, at that point, life couldn't seem to be more worse for Joseph. He felt defeated, lonely, unloved, rejected by, but God had a purpose and a plan for what he was going through. God took him out of slavery and made him a ruler in Egypt. We all know that. The second only in power to Pharaoh. Remember God's promise in Isaiah 41, verse 10. He says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee, and I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Now, please turn to your neighbor and repeat these words after me. Say, neighbor, it's not too late. God encouraged our heart that it's not too late. So it is not too late for you this morning. Now, a lot of times, the enemy tries to convince us that we have missed our blessing. The devil will play with your mind. He will say, if you have done what I wanted you to do, then this time you probably will have had this. You know, we will feel defeated due to the fact that we should have done what we should have done 3 years ago. Well, while that might be true in some sense, it's not too late. God has the time for all of our lives. God's time is not my time. God's time is not your time. Most of us used to say, God, I want you to come right now, quick, fast, and in a hurry. And most of us really want him to come right now. Guess what? Is there not a reason why Jesus delays his coming? He delays it for a reason. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Some of us cannot handle a right now blessing, so God makes us to wait. In our waiting, it works out on our patience. In our waiting, it has to bring out our attitude under control. Some of us have a bad attitude. We are mean and unclean. It bothers me when I see Christians that are claiming to know God with a bad attitude. It bothers me. Even with our attitude, we want God to come quick, fast, and in a hurry. Have you ever noticed how people want God to move for them, but they don't even want to move for God? The work they do for God is secondary, after every other thing. So we use God like we use, you know, the sugar in our cupboard for coffee every morning. Every morning you get up, you know, you get the sugar. When you want to take your coffee or tea, you take the sugar off the shelf, and when you're finished with the sugar, you put it back there. We use God at our convenience. When we get in trouble, we ask him. We take him off the shelf again, and we use it. We put it back there. We put him back on the shelf. When we need healing, we take him off the shelf again. As soon as we are healed, we forget about him. We put him back where he belongs. Now, tell me, brethren, is this the right way to treat our God? When we need a way made for us, we take him again. And as soon as he's made the way, we put him back on the shelf till another time again. But it's amazing how when we get in trouble and we need something, we want him to come quick, fast, and in a hurry. It's a shame when that's the only time we get real with God. I see everyone is quiet now. Maybe that is why God will not move right away. He makes us wait. It's only fear. You make him wait too. But it does not mean that he's not going to move, because the Bible says in Philippians 4, verse 19, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." So it's not going to leave you. At the appointed time, it's going to come into your situation. I pray this morning that now is the appointed time. The Lord will come into your situation this morning in Jesus' name. But that's our mentality. Lord, I want you to come now, you know, FedEx, overnight service, Western Union, and whatever you have. Brethren, the worst thing you can do is try to rush God. If you just learn to wait right there, God may be working something, some other things for you. Amen. While you are waiting on a right now miracle, it can be working some other things out for you. That's why I am learning how to rest and hope in the Lord with faith. There is always a hope in God. Then you can just stand still and tell the devil, "I know it is not too late for me." In our test, coming back to our test this morning, we find a story of a man named Lazarus of Bethany, and he had a sister by the name of Mary and Martha. Now, this was the same Mary that, remember, this is the same Mary that anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her ear. And Lazarus was her brother. So one day, Lazarus got sick, and his sickness was unto death. Somebody said to Mary, "Go tell Jesus that he whom thou love is sick. Lazarus is lying on his bed of affliction. He is laying there with no help. But we were with Jesus when we saw him." You can see what they're saying here. They were testing Jesus. They were saying, "We were with Jesus when he was opening the blind eyes, when he was raising the dead, when he raised Jairus' daughter, the man with the withered hand, the deaf ears come unstopped, the lame was straightened." So they were actually counting everything that Jesus Christ has done. They believe that there's nothing too hard for him. "Go tell Jesus that Lazarus is sick. We need a right now miracle. Tell him to drop everything that he's doing so that he can come and raise him." But the Bible says when they told Jesus that Lazarus was sick, he did not budge. He did not go anywhere. He just stayed calm. He stayed right there 2 extra days, preaching, continuing his work, teaching about the goodness of God. In the meantime, Lazarus died. 2 days went by. Jesus said, now, let's go to Judea. I got to go and get Lazarus because he is sleeping. So disciples thought that Lazarus was actually sleeping, but Jesus knew what he was doing. Now, if you look at this, Jesus knew Lazarus was gone, but he had hope. He had faith that Lazarus is going to rise again. So now, the reason why he took his time was that he wanted everyone to know that this is an exceptional miracle. This is something that is different from, you know, the dead that he was raising after several hours. This is someone that is completely gone, completely dead, that is already stinking. So he wants to show that the Lord that we are serving, regardless of how long the whole situation is, regardless, whatever situation that you have found yourself, even if that situation is already stinking, the Lord will rise today, and you will get your miracle this morning in Jesus' name. So the Lord waited for four days, and he waited for 4 days. So when Jesus got there, so Martha heard Jesus was coming, and she went running to Jesus with a bad attitude. Remember, I mentioned something about bad attitude. She came to Jesus with a bad attitude. If you have been here, my brother would not have died. Now, I want to ask you, church, where do you think he is when you are going through your trials? Do you think he has forgotten you? No. The Lord is on the throne, sitting high, looking, attending to his people. He wouldn't leave you, and he wouldn't leave you with the situation. At the appointed time, at the 11th hour, he's going to show up in your situation. Amen. Brethren, I want to encourage you this morning. You probably might be thinking it is finished. You probably might be thinking there is no way out. I have good news for you this morning. The Lord is making a way for you right now. The Lord is making a way for you right now. Your breakthrough is coming right now in Jesus' name. Now, God is never too busy. Yeah, he is never too busy. He's always on time. Proverbs 3, verse 5, encourages us to trust in him with all your heart, and you lean not unto thy understanding, no, because there is no power of your own. It's only the Lord that can help you. Now look at the attitude of Martha. She got humbled in her spirit. She said, Jesus, even now, even though Lazarus is dead, is stinking in the grave, even now I got enough faith. Even right now, all you got to do is to ask God, and God will give it to you. And the Bible says, whatever you ask in my name, I will give it to you. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. If you don't doubt him, if you have faith, God hears your prayers. He hears your petition, and God wants you to be encouraged. It is not too late for you. Now, Jesus said, since you said that you will see your brother again, her attitude changed. I know I am going to see him more, but thinking that I will see him in the resurrection, I can see Jesus with my spiritual mind. He said, I am what you are talking about, because I am the resurrection and the life. So all I got to do is to speak, and the man shall live. And if I speak, man shall die. So go tell Mary to come here. And here comes another bad attitude from Mary. If you have been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus said, shut your mouth and take me to where you have buried him. So when he got to the grave, the Bible tells us that Jesus groaned in the spirit and was troubled. He also cried because the people did not believe him. All he said was, take away the stone. They said, Lord, he has been dead for 4 long days. By this time, he's already stinking. Decay has set in the body. Jesus said, all I want you to do is just take away the stone. Take away the stone of depression. Take away the stone of envy. Take away the stone of shame. I'm praying this morning that every stone of shame, every stone of depression that the enemies have used to to block the breakthrough, the Lord is rolling it away this morning in Jesus' name. So Jesus is here this morning, and he's saying to you, it is never too late for your situation. When Lazarus came forth, the Bible says he came dressed in the grave clothes, wrapped up from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. So when Lazarus got to the mouth of the grave, they said, how do we know if that's him? Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Jesus is calling all the challenges you have to be losing today in Jesus' name. That breakthrough that appears to be bound is commanded losing today in Jesus' name. You are loosening from your stagnation today in the name of Jesus. So God wants the church to know you don't have to be bound, depressed because you think it's too late. People of God, I have good news for you. It is not too late. Have you forgotten how Adam was tricked by the devil with intention to destroy the rest of his seed for eternity, but Jesus stepped in? Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were down in the fiery furnace that the king requested to be 7 times hotter, but God stepped in their situation because it was not too late in their situation. The Bible also makes us to know that to everything there's a season and a time stipulated for everything under the heaven. So that for particular purpose or event, a time is associated with it. And if that time or season passes, man is prone to believe that man will think that it's too late for him. But the Lord is saying that it is not too late. Now, I have another illustration here, and I want us to please pay attention to this. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 1 to 16, there's a parable there. There's an interesting parable here, which we can relate to in many places of Africa as well. Now, in some parts of Africa, in the morning, you know, most of these artisans, bricklayers, electricians, painters, they have a place where they gather in the morning, you know, waiting for people that will hire them. So now, at that place, when it gets to like 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, then, you know, all the ones that will have been hired will have been hired. Then the rest of them will go home. Okay? So now, there's a parable here in Matthew 21 to 16. The peak time to be hired is about... Now, the peak time to be hired is about 6 a.m. so that such laborers get to the location from about 4 a.m. And it's always happened that if one has not been hired by 10, hope for that day is lost till tomorrow again. However, in the scripture here, Jesus said the householder went and took first laborers at 6 a.m. for a penny. Then he came back again at 9 a.m., still found some that were not hired. So he said, okay, hire them. So he came back at 12 noon, did the same. And at 3 p.m., the householder came back and still found some that are still idle, and he hired them for the same amount. Okay? So now, finally at 5 p.m., which is the 11th hour, so the ones that were hired, and to each of this group, he promised to treat them well. Now, to the greatest surprise, the ones that were hired last were the ones that were paid first. I'm not sure if we are getting what I'm trying to say here. Some people were hired first. Some people were next to them. But the ones that were hired last actually got their pay first. Now, the good news here for you is that you might think, okay, some people got to United States after me. They got their papers. And here am I, still waiting on the Lord. But I have good news for you. The 11th hour is your time. And you will be the one that will be paid first. I have good news for you. The Lord is listening to you this morning, and he will make a way for you. Amen. Now, I encourage you this morning, seriously, people of God, you need to wait at your marketplace. The householder is coming for you very soon. The heart is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. They and all that dwell in it. That same God will carve out a generous portion for you. That same God will listen to you. That same God will open the way for you. Now, there's someone here this morning. You are about to lose hope, just like me. You are presently idle at the marketplace. You wake early, go to the marketplace first. People that arrive after you are getting hired. You are still waiting. I have good news for you. Your time is now. The 11-hour favor and miracle will locate you right now in Jesus' name. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1 to 28, Peninnah thought it was over for Anna. Yes? The Bible did not tell us their ages, but one thing is clear. Hannah's name was mentioned first. That means she was older. Is it possible that Peninnah was married because of the inability of Hannah to conceive over time? Maybe. It is possible that Hannah was nearing menopause. Her husband was encouraging her that it should be more to her than 10 sons. This suggests that it is possible that Peninnah maybe had given birth to 10 sons already and Hannah was yet to have one. Okay? Elkanah possibly had given up on Anna as well. He was supposed to say that, "I know God will do it." Rather, he was saying, "Let me be the sons you can't have." But God showed up that it was not too late for Anna. She had 5 children. Samuel alone was more than 10 sons of Peninnah. So, now, your time, when the time comes, I am happy to tell you that when the time comes, you will be surprised at what the Lord is giving you. Amen. If you are trusting God for your child, your future partner, a befitting job, a business of your own, it is not too late for you. Amen. Some people like me come to personal conviction that there is no point in trying again. We have lost hope. Your reason is that your mates have gone far. People, like I said, that came to United States after you, they got their papers. God asked me to tell you this morning that your time is now. And those that you are looking at, I will make you to outrun them. Amen. That's a promise of God. He will make you to outrun them. Amen. So shall it be for you in Jesus' name. Amen. You are here. What you do now cannot be said to be a job. It's just for you to merely survive. You are only earning a minimum wage. Hear this morning. It is not too late for you. You will still be elevated and celebrated. In John 11, verse 9, Jesus Christ said, "There are 12 hours in which men must work, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Suggesting that the night cometh when no man can work, that is 6 p.m. Or it could be interpreted as time of youth vis-a-vis time of old age. Maybe the hour of work for a particular aspect of your life is fast approaching. It's fast approaching 6 p.m. God says it will complete that aspect before the closing time. Amen. Will you wait for God at your marketplace like those laborers, endure an 11-hour favor, and that so shall be yours in Jesus' name. I want to conclude by the Bible verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and it says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." And in James 1, verse 12, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life." You will receive the crown of life this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. This is what the Lord has promised you. This is what the Lord has promised you because you love him. So you will receive the crown of life this morning. Amen. I have one prayer point that I want us to pray, and I will leave here. I want us to ask God for one single help. And that help is that ask God to help you to be able to wait for his time. So I want us to ask God that your time is not known to you, but it is known to God. I want you to ask God that, "Lord, I want you to help me. Give me the grace to be able to wait for my time. Father, we ask you this morning that you will give us the grace. You will help us to be able to help, to be able to wait for you. Father, Lord, the faith to be able to know that you are going to do it. Father, Lord God, we ask you this morning, you give us the grace, Father, to be able to wait for your time. Your time is the final time. Lord, help us. We ask you this morning that you will help us to wait for you, to wait for your time, to endure the time. Father, Lord God, we ask you this morning, please help us. Help us, Father. Father, Lord God, we thank you. We give you glory. Father, Lord God, we thank you for the encouragement, the hope that you have given us. Lord, we thank you because we know that our time is now. Lord, we ask that as we continue this service, Father, Lord God, you continue with us. Everything that we have said, everything that we have said to encourage each other, Father, Lord God, we ask that you answer us today in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We give you glory. We give you adoration. For I have prayed in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.